For our scripture reading today, I'll be reading firstly from Alma, the third chapter. And these are the words of Alma, the high priest. And I will begin in verse 27. And now behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received his image in your countenance? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Then moving over into verse 46. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? Have you walked keeping yourselves blameless before God? Could ye say, if you were called to die at this time, within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble, that your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, who will come to redeem his people from their sins? Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not, ye are not prepared to meet God. And then in verse 57, behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them. And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, and shall eat and drink of the bread and the water of life freely. And then also from the Apostle Paul to the Romans. In the fifth chapter, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. May the Lord's Spirit that my brother asked for to attend us this day, may it abide with us as we in our efforts to worship and draw closer unto him.
Patiently, the
And I hope and pray that the quietness of this hour, that your soul will find peace and joy and comfort. I too, like my brother Bob, had adversity and distractions and challenges this week. But nevertheless, the Lord calls on us as His priesthood to minister to His people, and He helps us along. Steve mentioned the Song of Admonition as we read some verses in it. And the theme for this service is that first verse. O my people, saith the Spirit, hear the word of God today. Be not slothful, but obedient. 'Tis the world's momentous day. You see, brothers and sisters, this song of admonition, this song of counsel or guidance, is a revelation from God for His people. You know, oftentimes in the day and age which we live, when we hear, thus saith the Spirit, or, O my people, saith the Spirit, sometimes we're awful cautious, and rightfully so. You know, brothers and sisters, there's three spirits in this world. There's the spirit of the Almighty God. There's the spirit of man, or emotion. And there's the spirit of the adversary. My oldest daughter just returned yesterday from camp here last week at junior high camp. And before she left, I prayed that if it was the Lord's will, that she might experience a portion of His Spirit. As I had an opportunity to talk to her yesterday and asked her about the services and how camp was. And she shared with me that she cried in a prayer service. And it was a great opportunity for me to share with her what the Holy Spirit is and what emotion is, and the spirit of man, and what is the difference between the two. In John, the first chapter, fourth chapter, we have a test that we can try these spirits in our lives. And starting in verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now is already in the world. So I put this song of admonition to that test, and it passes that test. So I believe this song of admonition is of the Spirit and is true. As I was thinking about this song of admonition, I was thinking about Joseph Luff. I was reminded of an experience that he had in the younger days of his life. And he had sat under the ministry of J.J. Cornish. And after that service, and Joseph was not a member of the church, and after that service, J.J. Cornish announced that evening he was going to have a service on the Book of Mormon. And so Brother Joseph thought he would attend that. And during that morning service, there was manifestations of prophecy and tongues. And Joseph Love found himself asking, "Is this of God?" He was wondering if these things were of God. So he attended that Book of Mormon class that evening. And he was prepared to take lots of notes. And he became so interested in that class that he couldn't hardly write anything down. And he went up to Brother Cornish after that service, that class, and told him he appreciated that class, but felt like it was not enough evidence for him. The following evening, there was going to be a prayer service. And Brother Joseph's parents, Joseph left the wife's parents' house. And prior to that prayer meeting all day, Brother Luff opened up that Book of Mormon and read it all day long. And he said there was a gentle, persuasive, kind spirit that permeated his body. And he found himself asking once again, "Is this of God?" It came time to that prayer service, and there was time for some to stand. And Brother Joseph stood and shared his appreciation, the opportunity to worship with the saints there. But he felt like he could not leave the faith that he knew. And there were some prayers in that testimony, prayer and testimony service offered. And then there was also opportunity again for more testimony. And as those prayers were being offered, Joseph Luff prayed to his Heavenly Father, "Lord, if these things are true, if these manifestations of the Spirit are from Thee, if this book is true, would you speak through his wife's youngest brother, Robbie Parker," I believe was his name. And you see, Robbie was only 10 years old. And Joseph Luff knew he had no guile in him and would not know of this prayer that he had offered. And through that testimony service, it came to a point where young 10-year-old Robbie stood to bear his testimony just like any other young 10-year-old would. And then he stopped and turned to Brother Luff and spoke under the influence of the Spirit and answered every question that Brother Luff had. "Oh, my people, saith the Spirit, oh, how we take so much for granted in this church. This is the power that is available to us in this church. We have the power of that Spirit, even that Holy Ghost. We don't just want to have a form of godliness like our Protestant friends and deny the power thereof, but we want to accept that power and not hinder it. I remember a time in my life, it was in 1999, and I was raised in the church, and I found myself praying that I would have my own personal testimony of this church. And I prayed several months for this. And the Lord, one night, gave me a dream. And it was quite a simple dream. And I'm not one to remember dreams, but to this day I can still remember that dream vividly. And you see, brothers and sisters, it was a setting of where I grew up, that little town of Adrian. And there's many churches, many houses in that town. And the strong winds and destruction came upon the earth. And after everything was destroyed, there was one church left standing. And it was this restored church. And the Lord went on to show me other things in that dream, that what would become of some of the people in this church. And it saddens me that I've seen those things happen. Friends leave the church. You see, young men and women, you must ask God that you can have your own personal testimony. If you don't, you're not going to be able to stand in this last day. There are times I've become so discouraged with things I've seen happen in the church. But because of that testimony that I cannot deny, I will never leave this church. Because I know it's the true church of the living God. I remember in 2001, I was at a retreat at Adrian. And prior to that retreat, a few weeks prior to that, I had been called to the priesthood, to the office of deacon. And I was praying that the Lord might help me to know that this was of Him. And as I prayed at that retreat and the weeks prior to that, that manifestation of the Spirit was spoken to me in the service through Brother George Allen, Loretta's father. He knew nothing of it. And spoke directly to me of that call. This is how that Spirit can work with us. This is how that Spirit can work with His priesthood if we are not slothful and obedient to His commandments. In Alma, the 17th chapter, feel free to follow me if you would like. And this is Alma speaking to his son Helaman, starting in the 71st verse. "And now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the thing which our fathers call a ball, or director, or our fathers called it the Liahona, which is being interpreted a compass, and the Lord prepared it. And behold, there cannot any man work after the manner of so curious a workmanship. And behold, it was prepared to show unto our fathers the course which they should travel in the wilderness. And it did work for them according to their faith in God. Therefore, if they had faith to believe that God could cause that those spindles should point the way they should go, and behold, it was done. Therefore, behold, they had this miracle, and also many other miracles wrought by the power of God day by day. Nevertheless, because of those miracles were worked by small means, it did show unto them marvelous works. In verse 76, they were slothful and forgot to exercise their faith and diligence. And those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journey. Therefore, they tarried in the wilderness, or did not travel a direct course, and were afflicted with hunger and thirst because of their transgressions. Brothers and sisters, I have a question for you. A question I found myself asking myself this past few days. Am I, or are you, tarrying in the wilderness? Some of you may not be, but some of you may have something going on in your life right now that has distracted you and pulled you away and separated you from God. And I submit to you, brothers and sisters, for me and for you, when we find ourselves wandering, when we find ourselves lost, it's because here what we just read, oftentimes we forget to exercise our faith and we're not obedient to the commandments of God. What about the church? What about our branches? Do we find ourselves wandering in the wilderness? Over the past 5-6 years, between work for the CPRS school and other preaching assignments and occasionally visiting another branch, I've noticed something in our branches. That oftentimes the word of Christ are not being preached. Instead, we're settling for something far less. Man's ambitions, man's desires, philosophy, opinions. And you leave those surfaces discouraged. Brothers of the priesthood, we have a great responsibility to preach the words of Christ to His people. You see, there's something special in those words. His Spirit is in those words. They comfort, they edify, they strengthen, they bring us together. And when we don't preach the words of Christ, we let His people down. And that is on our heads. Oftentimes I think of the scripture in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. It's hard to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, isn't it? Because we lean too much onto our own understanding. We think we've got it figured out. We think we know the way. Some of you young men, I remember that age, and you think you've got it all figured out, but you don't. And you need to listen to your parents and grandparents. They have many more life experiences than you. I know several times in my life, I have found myself leaning unto thy own understanding and trying to do it my way. And I pray to God and pray to God, and why isn't this working out? Why isn't this working out? And the answer is simple. Because I'm not putting my trust in Him. I am not completely surrendering to Him. I am not completely turning everything over to Him. I know of two individuals in here that can say they truly have. And I'm sorry to embarrass you, it's Brother Harry Williams and Sister Beth Gio. Those things that they have went through, and I've heard them comment that, Lord, whatever your will is, let it be done. You see, brothers and sisters, we have to get to that point in our lives that we allow His will to be done in our lives. Be not slothful, but obedient. Slothfulness is laziness. And it's so easy to be lazy today. We have so much at our fingertips. We have air conditioning. We have all these things. It's much easier for us to forget the Lord today. Obedience is complying with the will of God. Do you know what the will of God is in your life? If not, you need to seek it out. As we've heard several times today, draw near unto Him and He will draw near unto you. Samuel in the Old Testament made a statement, obedience is better than sacrifice. You see, in the law of Moses, they had all these laws, and that of sacrificing. But all those laws were not about the sacrifice. They were to teach the Israelites obedience. Obedience. I think about Abraham. The Lord commanded him to sacrifice his only son, or son at that time, Isaac. That would be really hard to be obedient to. But he went, and you know the story. You see, that with Abraham and Isaac was not about the sacrifice. It was about obedience. In Genesis, we know the story of Adam and Eve. And in the fourth chapter, and He gave unto them commandments that they should worship the Lord their God and should offer the firstlings of their flocks for an offering unto the Lord. And Adam was obedient unto the commandments of the Lord. And after many days, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Adam, saying, Why dost thou offer sacrifices unto the Lord? And Adam said unto him, I know not, save the Lord commanded me. Excellent example of obedience. Adam did not know why, but he did it. Oftentimes in our lives, we're told by God to do something, and we wait a long time before we do that thing that we're told. It could be a week, it could be years. And that time frame in between when we're told to do something from the Almighty God and when we actually do it is the perfect opportunity for the adversary to come in and impact our lives. That great adversary has so much power over our lives. But we allow him to have that power in our lives because we do not oftentimes do what he has commanded us to do and keep his commandments. You can reflect on your life, and there's times in your life that you've been obedient. And you know when you're obedient that the Lord rewards us oftentimes for that. Think of Abraham and his descendants and the nations. Think of my life, those times that I have turned to the Lord and tried to be obedient, how he has blessed me. And he has blessed your life too in those times. Why would we want anything else? Why would we want anything else? In the Doctrine and Covenants, section 102, and this was a revelation given through Joseph Jr. in 1834. And he was speaking to the church, but we know what the Lord says unto one, he says unto all. Behold, I say unto you, were it not for the transgressions of my people, speaking concerning the church and not individuals, they might have been redeemed even now. But behold, they have not learned to be obedient to the things which I require of their hands, but are full of all manner of evil and do not impart of their substance, as become the saints to the poor and the afflicted among them, and are not united according to the union required by the law of the celestial kingdom. And Zion cannot be built up unless it is by the principles of the law of the celestial kingdom. Otherwise, I cannot receive her unto myself. And my people must needs be chastened until they learn obedience, if it must needs be by the things which they suffer. How many of you suffer from things because you haven't been obedient? I have, lots of times. In the admonition, one of those verses that we don't have in the gray hymnal, the third verse. I have spoken, few have heeded. What remains for me to do? Warnings old wait vindication. Man must learn that God is true. The restraining gates of mercy lead me off to interpose. Shall the devastating currents, fraught with woe, no more oppose? Time is running out, brothers and sisters. The Lord desires a people that are obedient to him, that are not slothful, but obedient. You see, 'tis today's momentous day. This is the day that the prophets of old talked of and desired that they could be a part of. That our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will return. You see, this day we live in is of great significance, great importance, and very consequential. Brothers and sisters, I have great testimony. And I know you have great testimony in your life that this Almighty God and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, loves you so much. And He would do anything for you, and has. He suffered that cross. And all He asks is for me and for you to be obedient to His commandments. And when you put it in that perspective, I really don't think He's asking much. But it's very challenging to do. We all have so many distractions in our lives and so many things pulling us in different directions. Seek Him out, brothers and sisters, in your closets. Pray to Him. Feast upon His Word, those words of Christ that bring comfort and joy to your soul. And in these books, there's an answer for every situation in your life. Oh, my people, saith the Spirit, hear the word of God today. Be not slothful, but obedient. 'Tis the world's momentous day. Those words that were penned many years ago still hold true today, because that's what Revelation does. Brothers and sisters, I would like to close with a scripture that I often read at the close of a service, because it is the call, what the Lord would have us do day by day. And in 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, starting in verse 27. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope. And listen to this. And a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, ye must press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end. Behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way. And there is no other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, the only true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen.